everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I thought the excessive heat warnings were a thing of the past, but nope, 109 degrees, and it's pretty darn humid with that. It's miserable out there.
August in Arizona, Bill.
Yeah,
I mean, 100 degrees temps are pretty common this
time.
Yeah,
but I kind of got spoiled with the cooler weather and the rainy July.
I'm with you. I was getting real used to it.
Yeah.
But we did do one thing. We got the one thing that we thought might happen.
Yeah.
We got the wettest month of the year.
Yeah.
Any month.
Yeah.
Since they've been keeping track.
Yeah. Beating August of 1955. We're in our 11th year on the radio. Today is Wednesday, August 4th. 2021. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The naming rights in our studio go to Green Things, Zocalo Village. We love Green Things. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed, which is a 24-hour feed, 24/7, KVOI.com. The live line on the Buckmaster Show is courtesy and presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, who last night pretty much, I don't know if I should use the word cruised, that now gives him a path to a fourth four-year term, but he did win, pretty much looked like by a 2-1 margin in his primary over two other Democrats. Steve Kasachek, welcome to the program. Congratulations.
Thank you. And Cruz is fine. I'm good with that. It was round one. There's still a general election to go, and we'll start focusing on that now. But I appreciate the fact that the two folks running against me wanted to bring new perspectives, and they made some valid points, and we'll continue to have an open dialogue with them as the next 4 years unfold.
Yeah, you do have an opponent. I believe it's Val Romero, who is a independent. Is that right?
Well, yeah, in quotes. Okay. I'm not quite so sure that is an accurate label, but Val Romero. Let me just put it this way: it'll be an interesting exploration to figure out what he really stands for. I was less than impressed with some of his responses in his Metro Chamber answers, and so we'll start down that path. But I think that there are some very, very significant issues that the city of Tucson needs to focus on. The reason I ran for re-election is because I've been sort of the tip of the spear on some of them. The PFAS water contamination issue being number one. The rollout of 5G in Midtown. The RTA relationship that we have regionally. Just to name a few. And they've got a track record of preservation of the Benedictine Monastery and several other things. So I'm gonna let the voters, of course, reflect on the work that I've done with my staff, and it's not about me, it's my staff, and see if they want to rehire us for another 4 years.
The deputy police chief, Kazmierczak, will be with us here in studio on Friday. Are we at a panic? Should we hit the panic button on these homicides up 63%, fewer officers on the street? How big a deal is the crime problem in Tucson, Arizona, Steve Kasachek?
Well, there are a couple questions bundled into that. One is the staffing problem, and it is a problem, and this is one of the areas that I differed fundamentally with the two people running against me in the primary. We are losing more cops right now than we are hiring through our academies. That's not through a lack of effort. We have an open till filled policy right now, and so we're trying to fill academies. But the Tucson Police Department is no different than any other police agency in the country now. It's just a very difficult position to fill and to retain. And so two of the things that we did in the last budget cycle is, number one, we gave police a significant raise, a market-based raise, and also cost of living compression adjustment. So getting them to market compensation, which makes them competitive with other agencies, will certainly help our retention. Recruitment is always going to be a problem, not just for Tucson, but as I say, for any law enforcement agency in the country right now. But we do have, you know, great, setting aside the heat warning that you talked about, we do have a great opportunity to recruit people to a very temperate part of the climate, and we do that. And like in January, February, we're out recruiting in Chicago and, you know, Michigan and, you know, the cold parts of the country, saying come to Tucson and you know, we'll hire you. So yes, we have a staffing issue that we have to get our arms around. In addition to that, you mentioned the shootings. It's been a blip, but it's been an uncomfortable blip, and it just feels as though that's sort of that's how we answer arguments anymore. Is we just pull a gun out, and I'm been a very, very strong supporter of expanded and more tough and stricter gun control laws. Right now in the state of Arizona, in the city of Tucson, it is 100% legal to meet somebody in a parking lot, have them flip open the trunk of their car, and you can buy an AR-15 out of the trunk of their car, cash and carry, with no questions asked. 100% legal in Arizona. So if we're going to have that level of ease with which somebody can go out and buy a semi-automatic weapon, then let's not be surprised when people start using them to finish arguments. It's really unfortunate. So let me circle back to the cop piece of it then. One of the pieces of the system that we have to, and we are, we've expanded our public safety pilot program, where we are hiring people with varying skill sets, so that by the time somebody winds up in a behavioral health emergency on the street, they will have options in terms of social and behavioral health options, where they can go in and get the treatments that they need. Our cops should not be the behavioral health specialist of last resort. And the shooting that happened last week, I guess it was, where two people were killed by the gentleman that wound up being shot by an officer. By the time that 911 call came in, the system had already failed that guy. And so getting behavioral health services earlier on in the pipeline, so that the police aren't the arbiter of last resort out on the street, is really where we need to go. So it's, yes, hire more cops. Yes, hire more people with a variety of skill sets. And yes, let's get some rational gun control policies into play, so that you can't just walk up to somebody in a shopping mall and open the trunk of their car and walk away with an AR.
All right, now let's talk about the Delta variant. I did a quick check at the Arizona Department of Health, looking at the numbers. I expected they've been running over 100, between 100 and 150 cases. And I looked this morning, it's 313 cases in Pima County. It's 2,400 cases in Arizona. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm glad you clarified the 100 cases is Pima County. That's not statewide. So I've been tracking this, too. The first week in June, we had 130 cases in Pima County in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're north of that on a daily basis.
Yep.
We have gone from being a moderate to a severe risk level. Things are going in the wrong direction. We have a governor who has said you cannot introduce vaccine mandates in our school system. The state legislature also adopted that, saying that trying to preclude us as a city from requiring vaccinations for our employees. We are very, very close to adopting that right now. I would expect within the next day or so to see something coming out from Mike Ortega, city manager, saying that if you're going to be employed by the city of Tucson, you're going to need to get vaccinated. County Board of Supervisors is considering that exact thing next Tuesday at their meeting. And I've had conversations with both our city attorney and our city manager. So we have three options, Bill. We can either say no mandatory vaccine, or yes, mandatory vaccine. Or the third option is you don't have to get vaccinated, but if you don't, you're going to test twice a week and you have to wear a mask if you're interacting with the public. My position was just rip the Band-Aid off. Yes, yeah, if you want to work as a city employee, get a vaccination, and let's stop with the nonsense. The reality is if you're going to take part in classes, at the U of A, for instance, you have to get an MMR vaccination, and that's been going on for decades. We're not in the middle. Who knows where we are in the pandemic? But as you just correctly pointed out, the numbers are escalating again, and it is no secret to anybody that the people who are being hospitalized and the people who are dying are the people who are unvaccinated. You may have a right to make certain public health decisions on your own, but when it starts to affect the health and safety of others, then, yeah, I believe that we have a right and a responsibility to do the right thing, and I think that our vaccination mandate is for city employees is a step that we should take.
And front page of the New York Times, younger, sicker, quicker. Doctors see change in COVID patients. This does not bode well for school starting up and thousands returning to the University of Arizona campus.
No, it doesn't. And so for a long time, I was going to war with the U of A about their failure to test students who lived off campus. I would have liked to have seen them be more aggressive in preemptive beating Governor Ducey to the punch and saying we're going to require vaccinations. The U of A and ASU were the only two Pac-12 schools who had not adopted a vaccination mandate when the governor issued his recent executive order. I would still like to see them say, no, I'm sorry, we believe that we have a public health responsibility to this community, and we are going to require vaccinations for anybody coming into this community. And I would like to see TOSD take the same position and just challenge the governor, saying we have a public health responsibility, and we're going to take politics out of this, and science is going to prevail. One of the reasons, and you know, this one of the reasons that we're seeing younger people suffer the ill effects right now is because that's the cohort that's not being vaccinated.
Yep.
So this conversation is just almost surreal. Why are we arguing about vaccinations? You've had a polio vaccine since you were a kid. You did the MMR vaccination since you were a kid. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Take the damn COVID vaccination. That should be the end of the conversation. And I'm really, really distressed that this has become so highly politicized.
And now TUSD is going to challenge the governor, joining Phoenix Union and I believe Roosevelt High School. We now have three districts on the mask mandate. They're going to go to the mat on this one, these districts. I expect there'll be more. I'm hearing you say, let's go to the mat on the vaccination mandates.
I agree. Yes, exactly. And I would love to see TUSD be the tip of the spear on that. And the state legislature passed a law that is going to preempt our ability to do that, but the law doesn't go into effect until September 29th. Well, that gives us about 2 months to issue this mandate and get it into effect. And on September 29th, if you don't have a vaccination, then maybe you don't work for the city of Tucson, and the county is considering something very similar.
All right,
I think their date is October 1st.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. More with Steve Kasachek right after this in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Steve Kasachek is with us, who came out on the top end of the three-way primary in the Democratic primary in yesterday's city election. Ward 6, Democrat Steve Kasachek on a path for a fourth four-year term. I was just reflecting, Steve Kasachek, during the break that in some ways 2021 doesn't even seem like the same year that in January my wife and I set the alarm for 4 o'clock in the morning so we could go down to the Tucson Convention Center and stand in line in hopes that there would be some vaccine available to get a shot. But just over 53% of eligible people in Pima County have been vaccinated. That's a lot of people who have not. So I guess those that have not look at my wife and I and say, what a couple of suckers that would trust that word trust in the government to put a vaccine into our arms that would perhaps save our lives and keep us off a ventilator and die a horrible death. I don't get it, Steve.
I don't either. And you're right. It was not too long ago when people were trying to get online, trying to get
yeah.
your appointment. Everybody was fighting with the system and there weren't enough vaccinations available and all that. Now they're being wasted, and I mean literally wasted. And they're running out of their shelf life. There are countries in the world who would love to have the vaccinations that we're throwing away right now.
Yes, sir. Yep.
We've got nearly half the population in this county who is simply not vaccinating. This is not politics. This is just basic science. And viruses do what viruses do. And as long as we have a cohort of the population who are willing recipients of a virus, the virus is going to change and mutate, and that's what aggravates so many of us that you know, you can exercise your quote your liberty to not take this medical procedure, but in doing so you're extending the pandemic, you're putting other people's lives at risk, and this whole notion that gee, we don't think that the vaccine was tested thoroughly enough. That's just bull. The the percentage of people who have had ill effects from this vaccine are minuscule. I mean, just look at the data, and versus the percentage of people who are in hospitals again right now and dying from this virus, who have not been vaccinating. It's like 99%. So I mean, it's just really, really frustrating. And so there are Los Angeles County reinstated a mask mandate. Washington began to require masks last weekend. Mayors in Atlanta and Kansas City are talking about it. Chicago's talking about it. You know, I mean, and at the same time, we've got people like in Louisiana he's saying that an indoor mask mandate is going to apply to everybody who's old, age 5 and over. So, I mean, some people are getting it. But I don't understand that 47% who are just digging their heels and saying, no, not me, then... You know, and guys like DeSantis in Florida, who signed an executive order giving parents the power to decide if their children should even wear a mask in a school. Well, then give the other parents the ability to decide that they're not going to send their kid to a public school and they're gonna, or whatever. You know, I mean, that.
Yeah.
It's just very frustrating because science doesn't seem to have a place at the table right now, and it's all politics.
In your newsletter, you said something about a workshop today about vaccine hesitancy at 5:30 this afternoon.
Really interesting. So we did a survey at the ward office, and the prize was a laptop for, you know, it was just a random drawing. And the woman who won it just happens to be somebody who's working in public health at the U of A. And she came in, and we just got to chatting, and she's running this seminar that you're talking about. And the theme of the seminar is how do you engage people in this conversation about vaccine hesitancy? And I said, you know, great, let us help you promote that. And the thing is this evening at 5:30. It's free. And it's not framed in the way of let's teach you how to win an argument. It's presenting the arguments that people have against the vaccination, and then having a conversation about, you know, what's the other side of that point. And I will guarantee you that it's gonna evolve to what does science say? And I think that's where we ought to be.
All right. Before we go, my friend Tim Steller wrote today about Barstool Sports and their sponsorship of the Arizona Bowl. The headline, Barstool Sponsorship Puts Bowl on the Hot Seat. Pima County next week is expected. Well, I don't know what the vote will be, but it's on the agenda. They are considering withdrawing their support of this, their sponsorship. I believe the city of Tucson is not a sponsor of that bowl. Is that true?
I think we supported them with about $20,000.
Okay.
To guys like Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool, that's pocket change. They are something valued at something like $450 million right now, if I remember my numbers right. So they're no small organization. I really feel as though the bowl committee should have done more homework on this organization before they signed this sponsorship deal with them. I don't know what the financial arrangement is, but the ownership, the founder of that, Dave Portnoy, has got a real ugly history of not only racist remarks, anti-union remarks, but the ones that bother me are his very overt comments, not V ones, but more that bother me are his very overt comments about normalizing rape. He has made comments to the effect that if you are a size 6 and you're wearing skinny clothes, then you deserve to be raped. And they hold things called blackout parties where they encourage generally college students to drink until they black out. And Portnoy is quoted as having said, we don't encourage rape, but if you pass out at one of our parties, then that's a gray area. Well, that's that kind of comment it has no place in our community, And for the Bowl Committee to sign on with this group as a title sponsor, I don't care if they've got a group of women who are leading the their corporate hierarchy right now. Portnoy is the founder, and he's still a part of this thing. I would support the city letting the Bowl Committee know that if you're going to sign on with this guy, then we're not going to fund you. And it's pocket change to this guy. The other thing that is curious about it is that it's going to be streamed. It's not going to be over the air. ESPN has a real rocky relationship with this guy. In fact, they signed him up for a broadcast at one point, and because of the comments that he made about one of their producers, that relationship lasted for one show, and then they pulled the plug on it. Well, ESPN is the big dog in the bowl fight and the bowl television fight right now, and so to have signed on with somebody who has a zero relationship with ESPN was a bad move too. So I really wish that. The final point is this is all about sports gambling. And yeah. I worked in the athletics department when there was a very difficult internal discussion about whether or not they were even going to put a fixed sign up for Casino with the Sun in the football stadium for money they wrote. Well, now you've got a title sponsor of the bowl game that's happening on the U of A campus in your stadium that's all about sports gambling.
All right.
So it's whole new world.
All right, we got to run. Steve Kasachek, thank you very much. The head of the Barstool Sports, the Bowl, was on Zach Yenser's program. I hope folks will give a listen to that. And Ali Farhang was talking that this has been completely vetted by the NC2A and the two conferences that are involved. All have signed on. We're going to have to leave it right there. Be right back.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. An extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts awaits you at Zocalo Village, which is part of the Green Things family. On their 13 acres, where you find amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more, open daily in their 51st year at 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show. We focus on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our Your Med segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley, former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean and founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. Likewise. This has got a lot of people, very much people who have taken the COVID-19 vaccine, and they are just at a loss to how so many, perhaps 90 million Americans who have said so far no to the vaccine, and they've said no, Dr. Woosley, for a variety of reasons. You've been in the business, in the healthcare business, a long time. Is this an outgrowth of the anti-vaxxers who have been around a while, really getting a foothold in our, because of social media?
I think so. It's far greater than the anti-vaxxers, which were really just a small number of people who were misled by a scientist from London who eventually was found to be a fraud and was posting data about vaccines and children having late complications from it, which just didn't exist. And it's become broader as a broader part of not trusting scientists. And I think our role as scientists has to include communicating to the public what the facts are, because so many people have... Some people won't change their mind no matter what, but many people are just resistant because there's such a conversation about it. They fear that if there's that many people talking about it, maybe there's something there, but there isn't. And we need to get the real facts about these vaccines out to the public.
And I keep hearing this was a rushed vaccine.
Right. And it was, that was some of the communication that really was misleading because, you know, most drugs and vaccines are usually tested for years in the laboratory. And the mRNA vaccines and the J&J vaccine were all tested for over a decade in the laboratory, and they were proven to be effective in all sorts of lab tests. And they were not given a shortcut in the lab, and then they weren't given a shortcut in the human testing. They were tested very quickly because, you know, normally they do phase one, phase two, phase three testing in humans, and you do them in sequence. In this case, they did them in parallel. so that they were all done at the same time. Every question that's always normally asked was asked and answered, and that the answers were actually better than ever before. You know, most vaccines in the past, especially the flu vaccines, only worked in about 50-60% of people. These vaccines are working in 90-95% of people in ways that you want. They're preventing death and hospitalization. And the side effects are minuscule. And all of this is because these are much smarter vaccines than we've ever had before. And again, they've been in human testing for over a decade. So they weren't rushed, they're not new, but they're really timely, and they're saving thousands and thousands of lives if you get vaccinated.
And a lot of people signed up and were recruited, 43,000 in the Pfizer, Moderna, 30,000 patients, Johnson & Johnson, 44,000 patients. So it's not like there were one or two people that were being tested on this thing.
Exactly. This is the largest, and it was done so quickly because there were so many sick people to enroll. It was very easy to enroll in these trials, and it was a massive international effort. So this is more people than have ever been in any drug study that I'm aware of, and it's bigger than most vaccine studies have ever been. So if there was anything wrong with these. Seriously wrong with these, we would know it right now. And even the long-term side effects with vaccines, which there are no long-term side effects that have been identified, and we have chronic data now on tens of thousands of these people for almost over a year. So we know that they're safe, and it's just really dangerous not to be aware of how effective they could be for you.
And I wish the FDA would give the full approval. I think that's coming within actually weeks.
It is, and it's going to be done very quickly. And people say, well, why haven't they fully approved it? And they don't realize that they've already analyzed the data early on and found that these were very safe, very effective, and therefore they were given the emergency use authorization by the FDA, the EAU, I mean EUA, sorry. And that was done because the law allows the FDA to approve something if it's safe and effective and if it's a dangerous, serious illness like this. So they were given the full authorization to use the drug, but in order to be fully FDA approved for marketing, that final marketing step, the company has to have has to present every single case report form for, in this case, 44,000 patients to the FDA. Then the FDA has to look at every page of those 44,000 reports and verify the accuracy of them before you can approve a drug. They have to make site visits to every place where the drug was studied to make sure that everything was kosher at the sites. And that takes a longer time. So that's why they haven't approved it yet, but they are expected to this month review and probably approve the Pfizer vaccine, and the other two are right on the heels of that one. And that's not a shortcut. It's actually it's part of the law that the FDA has to do that before they can give formal approval. But if anything had been turned up in the review of these sites and the review of these data, they have to revoke the emergency authorization, and that hasn't happened. So it's fully expected. You wonder why would Dr. Fauci think it's going to be approved? Because nothing has shown up that would stop it from these from being approved.
And the bottom line, Dr. Woosley, why would anybody take a chance on being put on a ventilator, dying a horrible death? There have been cases, numerous cases, where people, families, and the people who are right before they're put on a ventilator, they're begging, give me the vaccine now, and they think that will save their life. It's too late.
Exactly. Their lungs have already been ravaged. If you look at if you've seen on TV some of the x-rays and some of the lung damage that's happened, people having to have total lung replacement transplants because the virus has just destroyed every bit of their lung, and they're smothering and dying a breathless death that is totally preventable.
All right, Dr. Woosley, thank you very much, and we hope that people will get vaccinated. It's the bottom line. Yeah.
Begging everybody to encourage everyone they know who's not vaccinated to do so. It's free, it's safe, it's effective, and it will save not only your family, but other families around you. And perhaps finally bring this virus to a halt. If we don't do something quickly, every time somebody gets infected, it's another chance that virus will mutate, and then the vaccines may no longer work.
Yep.
We've got to move quickly while these vaccines are still effective.
Amen. Dr. Ray Woosley, thank you very much from Credible Meds. The website is crediblemeds.org. Dr. Woosley, have a great afternoon. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues. We're going to go a completely different direction. We could all use a little relaxation. What are you reading this summer to relax? We'll give you a couple of great suggestions right after this.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Nice day over in Silver City, where we strongly recommend a road trip 3 hours east of Tucson. 82 degrees and overnight lows look like around 60. Can't beat that. 5 to 7,000 feet elevation does make a difference. So much to do, including hiking in the very green. I like to say right now the Gila is as green as Ireland. Gila National Wilderness for your hiking. For things to do and where to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. What are you reading this summer? Summer is a traditional time for folks when they do get some time off and vacation, take some books with them, and kick back and do a little reading, I asked a literature professor, Aralee Sheehan, who heads up the University of Arizona English Department, to join us today to give us some of her summer reading picks. Aralee is an award-winning writer. She's the author of four short story collections, including Demigods on Speedway, published by University of Arizona Press. Her most recent book, Once Into the Night, from the University of Alabama Press. She is the author also of two novels. Aralee, how is your summer going so far?
Oh, it's going really well, Bill. How about yours?
Pretty good. I just finished. I might as well tell folks what I've been reading, and then we'll get to you. Stephen Johnson, he is the host and co-creator of the Emmy Award-winning PBS BBC series, How We Got to Now. And there is a companion book. I'm reading that book, How We Got to Now. And I also finished earlier his book, Extra Life, A Short History of Living Longer. I recommend both of those books. Very interesting stuff for people like myself who do prefer a non-fiction piece. But I want to hear what's on your list.
Oh, okay. Well, my list involves a lot of Ireland. You mentioned Ireland in your invocation of all the green. And boy, we sure have had a lot of it with our monsoons here in Tucson as well. But this the first book I'd like to recommend for people is called Hamnet. It's by an author, Maggie O'Farrell. She's Irish. She was born in Ireland and she lives in Scotland. Hamnet is subtitled A Novel of the Plague, and it is not this recent bout with the virus. It's set in 1580, and it features Shakespeare and Shakespeare's wife and children. And now I don't know if that sounds very dry and dusty to anybody. I wasn't sure what I would make of it because, you know, sometimes I like these books that are about historical figures, but sometimes I don't. So I opened this with an open mind though, and I was incredibly interested in it. It is not necessary to really to be super linked into Shakespeare. I mean, it's kind of exciting if you are, but it's really all about the characters, especially this darling boy who was his son who died young. His name was Hamnet, and the book kind of traces his life in its short form, and it also traces the lives of especially Shakespeare's wife, Agnes, who you never really hear about, and who is a pretty much an interesting character all and of herself. And for one thing, she wasn't a reader. And so it's kind of ironic, I guess, that that Shakespeare, who is, you know, considered the best writer we've ever created as in humanity, would have would not be leaning into that in his own marriage. So anyway, but she's a force of nature herself, and it's a very beautifully written book. It's great characters, and it's very sad as well, but it's not sad. It's not so sad that you shouldn't read it. I think you'd like it.
All right. And again, the book is Hamnet. That's H-A-M-N-E-T. The author is Maggie O'Farrell. The book is published by Knopf, and it gets 4.5 out of 5 stars. I was just looking at Amazon. So a lot of people, Aralee, agree with you on that one. So I think it's a winner.
Yeah, definitely. It was a top 10 best books of 2020 from the New York Times, and she won the 2020 Women's Prize for Fiction, which is a big prize over there in England as well for it. So, but I think you'd like it. It just brings these characters alive with such force.
All right. What else do you have for us?
While I'm on the theme of Ireland, I wanted to just bring up this writer, William Trevor. Have you ever read him?
No, I have not. Him? William Trevor.
Okay. William Trevor was a short story writer primarily. He was from Northern Ireland, and he died a few years ago in his late 80s, and he kept writing short story collections up until he died. He was extremely prolific and just an astonishing chronicler of the Irish people. So the book that I'm recommending today is by him. It's a short story collection called The Hill Bachelors by William Trevor. And it's one of his later collections. What I like about it, especially right now, I guess, as we've just really encountered staying in a lot more, some of us are beginning to tiptoe out and travel, maybe to Silver City or maybe further.
Right.
But it makes you think about place and how place creates culture and creates the character of the people who are there. And so these folks that he's writing about, these stories are very wide ranging, from, you know, taking on the consciousness of a child to a priest to, young lovers. One of the stories that I thought was so interesting is called The Telephone Game. And it's about two people on the eve of their wedding, and they discover something, that the bride-to-be discovers something about the character of her husband that is just a little thing in a way, but it's also it's a little ominous. And it just really makes for a great short story.
And it's William, I looked it up. It's William Trevor, an Irish novelist, playwright, and short story writer. And this is a collection of his work. He passed away in November of 2016. He's considered one of the elder statesmen of the Irish literary world, widely regarded as one of the greatest contemporary writers of short stories in the English language. So he had tremendous credentials.
Absolutely. Yes. He's really, really something. Any book of his would work, but I've just recently enjoyed The Hill Bachelors.
So, all right.
Have one more for
please
you.
Please do, and I've got about 1 minute, so you're going to have to really telescope it for us, Arlie.
Appleseed.
Appleseed.
It's a novel by Matt Bell. He teaches up at ASU, and it's gotten tremendous press. It's something that it's kind of a sci-fi-ish book, but it's also very, very good and exciting. Appleseed.
And this, the writer is teaching, and or does he work up at ASU or what?
Yep, he's the director of the creative writing program up at ASU. His name is Matt Bell, and he's just a super nice guy and very, very giving and generous as a teacher as well.
Appleseed is a book that will make you examine your relationship with the natural world and whether you are helping or hurting it. Sounds very interesting. And again, the author is Matt Bell, B-E-L-L. Arlie, always a pleasure. Arlie Sheehan, the head of the UA English Department, thank you. Good luck with the upcoming school year.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk.
Thank you very much. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Lots of content, as usual, that we managed to put into 55 minutes of radio. We're going to do it all over tomorrow. And Will Humboldt will be with us, former Arizona State Health Director, very timely to talk about what's going on with the latest on the Delta variant. Have a great afternoon, everybody.